Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medina.
This morning, church, I want to share with you, if you open your Bibles with me, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And as always, church, share the message. Tell someone to tune in. Tell them God has a word for you. Hallelujah. I want to welcome everyone this morning. Amen. If it's your first time, thank you for being with us. We believe God has a word for your life. Amen. The word of God is powerful. The word of God changes lives. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you guys have it? Amen. Right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the theme of the message that I put this morning is just let me remind you. How many know that every so often we need to get reminded? We need to get reminded. The Holy Spirit can remind you. A message can remind you. People can remind you. Mistakes can remind you. But this morning, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse 11 towards the end. Verse 11. We're going to see here, Paul is the founder of this church in Corinth. And it is believed during his second missionary journey, after 18 months in Corinth, he departed the city to continue his missionary work. But then again, Paul planned to visit Corinth again via Macedonia, but instead traveled straight from Ephesus to Corinth. But this time, this visit, it turned out differently. This visit turned out to be a painful experience in the ministry life of Paul. And it's here where Paul, he writes to the Corinthian church. And we're going to see of everything what he wrote, what he told them. He commends the church. He also encourages them to prepare an offering to give to the poor in Jerusalem. But even at that, as we will see right now, Paul is still experiencing great struggles with the Corinthian church. And he addresses the issues, the things that are happening inside the church. But let's see what the Bible says. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, "Finally, brethren, farewell." And look what he tells them. I'm going to share four things quickly. Number one, he says, "Finally, brethren, farewell." He says, number one, he says, "Be complete." Number two, he says, "Be of good comfort." Number three, "Be of one mind." And four, "Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." Are you ready for verse 12? "Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, be with you all. Amen. So obviously the church, they're going through some things. And maybe from the perspective of Paul, he's thinking and he's writing. And he tells them, finally, brethren, farewell. And he says, be complete. The word complete speaks about maturity. How many know that maybe for some, it's time to mature? How many know maturity is important? It's even biblical. Paul, at one time, he says, look, he says, I can't speak to you guys, you know, too spiritual because you guys are still babies. You can't eat steak yet. He says, I have to give you milk. So the issues that were happening in the church, you know, many times in life, in the church, or even in your personal life, hear me out what I'm going to say. Things get old. It's like we need to let go and just let God. And it's time to move on. It's time to change. It's time to grow. It's time to do things differently. And Paul knows the issues in the church, what they're going through. And maybe he's thinking, you know what? Mature. It's time to mature. The New Living Translation, I like the way it breaks it down. It says, grow to maturity. Grow, church. There's times that it's necessary to grow in our spiritual walk with God. Amen? I mean, I don't want to be serving God 50 years and I'm not growing. You know what I'm saying? It's time to grow up. It's time to change. And many times we're waiting on everybody to change when we have to change ourselves. We have to change. I got to change. I can't wait on people. I have to change. I have a commitment with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to go from infancy to maturity. Now, there might be emotionally some mature, some, but we're responsible, church. We have to be mature. Hear me what I'm going to say. It's very important. We need to learn how to control our impulses. And all of you, we have the capacity to change. Because why? The one thing is because we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit represents the fruit of the Spirit. We have the capacity to deal with change. Hear me out. Because in life, there's things are going to change. Things are always, or things are evolving. There's going to be disappointments. But let me ask you, do you know how to control your impulse when there's disappointments? Stress or conflicts that life brings. Come on, church. God's looking for maturity, mature believers. You know, many times any little thing moves you. We cry, we yell, we blame him, her. How about yourself? It's time to grow, church. Let's take responsibility. As I said earlier, things sometimes it's the same story. It's all get rid of it already. The blame game. So as believers, we need to mature. We need to, God, our goal is to what? Is to be complete until the day the Lord comes back. Or we go with the Lord. I like what it's going to get good, church, so get ready. Dr. R.A. Vernon, he said, immaturity, hear me out, immaturity hates instructions. But maturity people craves them. You crave instruction. You're willing to learn. You are open. You're like saying, hey, talk to me, teach me, show me. But immaturity hates instructions. Talk to me, somebody. There's people that don't like instructions. They don't, you can't teach them, you can't tell them, right away they jump. Hallelujah. Am I at the right church? You know, you're trying to teach, and instead of being wide open, they're mugging you. Lord have mercy, your eyes are coming out. Another thing about maturity, here it goes. A sign of maturity is celebrating others' victories while we wait on our own. People can't handle that. Somebody gets blessed. Someone's doing well. And instead of you celebrating with them, you're hating. They get new shoes, you're hating. They pick them, you're hating. Come on. Our goal is to be complete, is to be mature, church. Hey, your time is coming. But if you learn to celebrate others, guess what? They will celebrate with you tomorrow. Why him? Why always her? Celebrate. They must be doing something good, something right. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. And many times, these are some of the things we say. As Christians, we shouldn't excuse and neglect areas of our life by saying. Because people, hear me, church, sometimes people never want to change. They never want to grow. They never want to go for it. And this is what they say. I'm not into that. That's not my thing. That's my weak point. No. God's in the business of changing people. Changing hearts. I mean, you can't say, hey, love your brother. Oh, I'm not into that. Help your parents. I'm not into that. Love your neighbor. I'm not into that. Bless some. That's not my thing. Yeah, right. You know, oh, bless someone. Oh, that's not my thing. It's biblical. And many times there's areas of what I'm just mentioning, church, that we need to grow. We need to mature. And guess what? If we grow in those areas, things will be better in your life. Life will be easier in your life. And many times, we're the ones that are carrying all that. Because we're not willing to change. We're not willing to obey. We're not willing to be doers of the word. So we want to do things, you know, the way I think. That, you know, this is the right way. You know, this works for me. That's a comment on this works for me. But many times, why is it that when it comes to God, that doesn't work for you? So, church, let's pray. Lord, help me to grow. And hear me, I could go on, church. Many, even in a marriage, we need to grow up. Got to learn how to forgive your spouse. You've been married 60 years and you're always waiting on the man to forgive, but you never want to apologize. Come on. And you think you're in the right always. No, until he forgives, nothing's going to get fixed here. Come on. The amens are getting lower and lower. Amen? So we need to mature. Let's go to the next one. He says, become complete. Number two, he says, be of good comfort. Let me tell you something, church. How many here have been comforted by someone? When are you going to comfort someone else, encourage someone else? Amen? We're always waiting. I'm not going to go until they encourage me. No, church, there's a time comes where you need to encourage someone. Comfort someone. You're always waiting people for you. And, you know, it's time that you call someone. You tell someone face to face. I'm not that type, but I respect and I people when they write letters, they write you a card or write a letter. That's powerful for me. I'm not that type. But I respect and I honor. You know why? Because it takes time. It shows their heart. They take the time to write down. We were at a pastor's meeting, and they're probably the oldest couple in the pastoral. And the sister, Sister Garcia, I know Brother Ruben, Sister B knows him. She always takes the time and she'll give out, because her husband, I'm not sure if he's still in the convalescent home, had a little incident. But she wrote everybody, gave everybody a card. And I opened it and she put, specifically, like, in my part, what I did. That's a word of encouragement, church. And Paul, he says, be of good comfort. See, he's giving comfort to them. Now, think about it. The churches are the ones with the issue. So the word comfort and courage is very important. Truth Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, he was known for asking this question. How do you know someone needs encouragement? Are you ready? He says, how do you know someone needs encouragement? This is what he would reply. He would always answer, if they are breathing. See, what he's saying is that every human being, every person, believer or not believer, needs some type of encouragement. Amen, church? So this morning, take courage. I encourage you to move on, church. I encourage you to be faithful to God. I encourage you to not give up. I encourage you to keep on doing where God is blessing you. Take courage, church. If someone hasn't encouraged you, I'm going to encourage you this morning. Amen? Move forward. Fight the good fight of faith. there's people that are only encouraged. When they see good in others. Oh, yeah. I heard this happened. He got blessed with $50,000. I'm going to call him up and encourage him. Someone wrote this. I don't know who wrote this. I can't give credit to, but it says, don't call me when I'm up. I had the same number when I was down. See, all of a sudden you forget when people are down. When they know most need a word. Oh, yeah, but all of a sudden they're your buddies when everything is well, or they're doing well, or you're doing well. Come on, church. Someone, is there anyone this morning that can have courage and say, you know what? It is hard. I'm going through it, but I'm still going to encourage someone just because it's the right thing to do. Everyone could use some encouragement. Yes or no? Amen? Now, let's not get it twisted. There's people, many times there's people that live off that. But that's where maturity comes in. See, I don't need, encouragement is good, church. Don't get me wrong, it's a blessing. But I don't need an encouragement every 5 minutes either. I got to encourage myself. Do you hear me, church? There's times where it's just you and God, where you have to encourage, like David said, he encouraged himself in the Lord. When did he do that? When he saw that everybody was coming against him. They wanted to stone him. And what did he do? He went to the presence of God. And the Bible says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. There's times, church, where you yourself got to encourage yourself. I mean, 15 years passed by and you're still waiting on someone to encourage you. Nobody's encouraging me, so I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to read the Bible. Nobody's encouraging me. Glory to God. Anyone, hear me, anyone can be a critic, but it takes guts to be an encourager. Easy to critic people. Easy to critic the pastor. Easy to critic the church. But it takes guts to be an encourager. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort, encourage one another. Look what the Bible says, daily. Daily. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another. It's time, church, as someone has encouraged you, it's time that you encourage someone. Thirdly, be of one mind. The New Living Translation says, live in harmony. How many know that it's possible? Paul urges the believers to have the same mindset and purpose. What does that mean? This does not mean that they will agree on everything. There's going to be times, church, we're not going to agree on everything. But we can live in harmony with each other. Oh, you didn't like that part, huh? But we can live in harmony with each other. It's always going to be that way, church. You might not like the way I do church. Maybe you don't like the way you do at work or whatever it is. But just as you are in front of something, I'm sure there's people who don't like the way you do things either. So we're all in the same boat. But we could work together. We could love one another. We could encourage one another. Amen. If we have a mission, we have a vision, we're doing well. Amen. Because the focus is on what God wants to do. Paul in Corinthians, he says, now I plead with you, he says, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is 1 Corinthians 1:10, that you all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you. Church, there shouldn't be no divisions among us. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly or mature, joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In one occasion, Paul speaks to two people specifically, straightforward. In Philippians 4:2, he says, I implore Udia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. The New Living Translation says it like this. What I just read, he says, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreements. It is possible, church, to do things in God's harmony, God's love. Long as you are willing. When you're not willing, it's not going to work. But if you have the willing heart, it will work. And it's important, church, to be of one mind. Great things happen when we do things in one mind, when we do things together. How many believe that? When we live in harmony, great things happen in the kingdom of God. It's all over the Bible, church. Even when it talks about, you know, husband and wife, you already know that. When things are in harmony, things are better. Amen? In your family, when things are in harmony, things are better. At your workplace, when you work together, things are better. Amen? Inside the house of the Lord, when we work together, things are better. So it is possible in Jesus' name, church, to work in harmony. Don't believe the lie that it can happen. First Peter 3:8, it says, finally, all of you be of one mind. See, it's everywhere, church. Be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. See, we love as brothers, church. You're my brother and you're my sister. Amen? In the family of God, we are brothers and sisters. We are a family. You're my brother. I didn't say cousin. You're my brother in Christ. You're my sister in Christ. Amen? You're my family in Christ. Hallelujah. So we're called to work together. And he says, love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Like what Dr. James O. Davis, he said this, those who do not network will find themselves not working. When you don't work, network, you're not working. You're doing things on your own. You're not working. But when you're networking, when you understand and you say, you know what? I need you and you need me. We're a team. We're a family. Amen. That's networking. I can learn from you and you can learn from me. Amen. But when you don't network, your net is not working. Come on, somebody. You're not working. You're just there. Your machine is off. Your motor's off. Amen. You need oil on your motor. Hallelujah. You need the oil of the Spirit of God. You need a touch from God. You need God to change you. You need God to change your heart. Change you from the inside out. Hallelujah. I want to be someone that's working. Someone that makes things happen. someone that has a humble heart, a willing heart that says, you know what? Here we are. What do we need to do? Let's make it happen. But if you don't know how to network, guess what? You're not going to work. Man, let me put it this way. Nobody's going to want to work with you. Nobody's going to want to work with you. Why? Because you don't work. You need to learn how to network. Amen? Come on, church. God's giving you wisdom. God's giving you intelligence. God's, some of you, you're very creative. Oh, it's because I want all the credit. I want all the glory. I want people to look up to me. Right there, that's lack of maturity all the way. You need to grow up. Look, only me, not them. Grow up. You need to learn how to be secure in the Lord, church. Who you are in the Lord. You don't fear nothing. You're secure in the Lord. You know you're blessed. You know God's hand's upon you. Amen. You know you're a vessel of God. You know God uses you too. Amen. You know that you're a blessing at your workplace. Amen. Matter of fact, your work is blessed because of God's favor on your life. Amen. Hallelujah. You're an instrument. Be humble. Let people applaud you. Let people speak about you. You be quiet. You sit in the back. Let them sit you in the front. Oh, it's getting quiet. Come on. And my last, and I'm done with you, my last one. He says, he talks about peace. Everything we spoke to, that's why people, they don't got peace with other people. You don't have peace. Like, because, one, you don't want to mature. Two, you don't want to network. You never want to go out of your way to comfort someone, encourage someone. You always want them to do it to you. There's no peace. Come on, church. Hallelujah. You go somewhere, no peace. Because you're already thinking. Because certain people are there. Certain people are there. Oh, it's going to get heavy now. People that 10 minutes earlier you ate them up. You devour them. He says, live in peace. Live in peace. We're called to live in peace, church, with one another. I'm not talking about the peace that God gives us. We already have peace inside of us. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. I'm talking about peace with other people. The most awful thing, church, is, oh my gosh, it's just be in peace. We need to stop doing little things on purpose, church. You ain't fooling no one. Live in peace. Have a clean heart. That wherever you go, wherever you step in, you have a clean heart, a pure heart. You're in peace with everybody. You are who you are. You're not going to change no one. I'm not going to change no one. The Spirit of the Lord is the one that changes people. man, you live in peace. You do your part. You greet people. You say hi. You respect people. It's not your business how they respond. You do what's right, what's correct, always. Even in your low days, your middle days, your high days, be the same, church. Don't change like a yo-yo. You know, one day you're up, next day you're down. You know what I'm talking about, church? Hold your composure. Be real. That's the most important thing, is be OG, be original. Amen? Be original. Don't be a copy. Be original. Too many copies. Be an original. Man, be an original. Don't be copies. Be an original. Always. Always be an original. Come on, church. Be an original for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Peace and the God of love and peace will be with you. What is he saying? He says you're going to experience it, church. You're going to experience the love of God like never before. You're going to experience the peace of God. This should be a lifetime walk with the Lord. Don't program yourself that you get used to it in your mind. You're thinking, there's 2 weeks, it's good, but then 3 months, it's off. No, this should be a lifelong journey. Come on, church. Not just the reason you're like that is because you choose to. You choose to. It's not God. Don't blame God. Too many people are blaming God and God. And God, no, it's because of your choices you make, your decisions you make every day. Let me tell you something, church. When you become bitter with someone, it's because you choose to. No, nobody forced you. Nobody told you, hey, te voy a dar $50 bajo el agua. Juégala. Hasta el enojado, la enojada. No. Church, you got to be real. Don't matter who it is. From the highest to the lowest, be the same. Be real. Don't change it, church. Too many people change within people. With one person, there's somebody. With another one, there's somebody else. Then they come over here and they say something else to make it look good. But then they go back over here and they say, no, it wasn't like that. Be real. And it's always the same thing. It's always the same thing. The reason we do that is because we want to look good. We want people to like us. I got to say this because then he's not going to like me. She's not. No. Doesn't matter. When you're doing what's right, people are going to like you or not. Just do what's right. Just do what's right. Do what's correct. Do what the Bible says. Don't do your opinions, what you think, what I feel. No, do what God says. Not only, he's the pastor. I'm going to change it up right here, I'm going to change it up. But then you go over here, and you're still changing it up. Which one is it? Come on, church. Hallelujah. See, you want to live in what? In peace. Hallelujah. You're in peace. Why? Because you learn how to keep your mouth quiet. Let me give you a nugget. This one's for each. The more you zip it, life gets easier and better. But the more, oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, my gosh. Amen? I'm going to give you another free one. People can't handle silence because people are waiting for you to say something. Now, I'm not saying when it's time to speak for what it's correct, let's speak it, but with wisdom and the love of God. I'm not saying you're going to stay quiet. Oh, yeah, you know, do whatever you want, say whatever. No, I'm not talking about that. But there's times where you got to learn how to stay quiet, church. Because in the first place, you're not going to win that person. And that's the problem. Everybody always wants to have the last word, the last, you know. Talk to me, somebody. Talk to me, Monica. No, I'm just playing. You know what I'm saying? Lord, oh, it's going to be a long drive. I'm going to hear from her. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. But you get the picture. Please stand, church, this morning. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.